that I have is yours. Do you remember those words that the Father speaks to the elder son? All that I have is yours. Do you not know? Have you not been with me all these years and you don't realize that all that I have is yours? This gospel today is a difficult one. It's a difficult one to try and understand, both within the heart but even within the mind. But throughout all the centuries, people have pointed to the parable that actually comes right before this, that Jesus tells as the only way of actually beginning to understand what Jesus is getting at today. And the parable right before this one that Jesus is telling in succession is the parable of the prodigal son, which we would have heard last Sunday. The exaltation of the cross took its place. But Jesus, and I'm going to cut right to the chase of it, he's saying in this parable to his disciples and to us, echoing the words of the Father, do you not realize that all the treasure of God the Father and his heavenly kingdom is ours? And have we been with God so long that we don't recognize that and that we don't even know him? The parables that just come before this, the prodigal son, and even the two just before that, the good shepherd who, right, he loses one sheep and he leaves the 99 to go find that one lost sheep, saying this is who God the Father is. He's the one who will seek after the one who is lost. And there'll be rejoicing and celebration in heaven when he finds that one who's lost. The kingdom of heaven and your Father is like the person who loses a coin in their home. It's worth a whole day's wage, but he searches the whole home for all the day just to find it. And when he does, he finds that lost coin, he calls all his friends together, and there's immense celebration. And then the parable of the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son, who he squanders his father's entire inheritance, squanders it off in a faraway land, but then he decides he's going to come back home to be a slave. But instead, his father receives him. He receives him as his son. His son who was dead and now is alive. And he puts a ring on his finger. He puts his cape over him. He essentially says to him again, all that I have is yours. And then the elder son, right? He's protesting. He's upset. Why would you welcome my younger son? I've been with you all this time and you haven't given me anything. And the father says, no, you don't know. You don't understand me. You've been with me all this time, but you don't know who I am yet. And all that I have is yours. Jesus, he's speaking those parables to the Pharisees, who they're the ones who put themselves forward as the religious leaders of the Israelites, but they don't know who God is. They don't know him. They don't understand who he is. And so this is what Jesus is trying to reveal to them. And in this parable today, he turns now to his disciples, his followers. And he wants to show them who God the Father is. And he uses now the example of this scoundrel of a bad steward. This bad steward, he is the master's right-hand man. The master who is incredibly wealthy, he has his steward. He's fired because he squanders his master's property. And his master tells him, go, prepare to make an accounting of yourself. Go get the books, bring them back, you're fired, you're done. He has this little window of time. And what does he decide to do? He, this scoundrel, who's just trying to save his neck here, he actually understands who the master is, and he makes a huge gamble. Here's what it looks like. Imagine that I'm that scoundrel of the dishonest steward. And every one of you, every one of your families, you're in debt, a massive debt to my master. And you don't know that I've been fired, but I come to each one of you and I say, good news! The master, he's cut your debt in half. Here's a promissory note. You write it in your own handwriting, and half of what you owe is going to be forgiven. This debt that you're not able to pay because it's so massive. Because this man, he's about ready to be fired, and he is looking to secure a place for himself, and he's taking this gamble. He knows the master, and he knows the master's generosity, and he knows the master's mercifulness. And so what is this master going to do? Because here's what's going to happen. All of you have been forgiven this massive debt. That evening, you're going to be finding out that everyone's debt has been forgiven up to half. You're going to be throwing a huge celebration. Think of the celebration of the prodigal son that was held. You're going to be throwing a huge celebration. You're going to be toasting the master. Here's to the master and his mercy and his forgiveness that he's shown to us. And this scoundrel of a steward knows, he knows his master, that he's not going to come and be like, whoa, stop, stop, stop this celebration. You've not been forgiven. He was lying to you. Put away all the booze. Stop celebrating. You still owe your full debt. He's not going to do that. And this scoundrel of a steward, who is not a good man, he knows the Father, or here understood as the Master, better than even those who are his followers. He knows that the Master is filled with goodness and generosity and mercy, and that he will become a little bit poorer so that those who were in debt to him, think of that as humanity who has fallen in debt, can be filled with this joy and celebration and be made richer through him. This scoundrel understands something, and this is why the master, he doesn't praise him as being a good person. He just praises him as acting prudently. Because now, you're seeing me as this steward who has cut half your debt. One of you is going to take me into your home and take care of me because you're so grateful to me. But what Jesus is saying in this parable is he is pointing to the Master, to the Father, to God, and telling us, do you know who he is? Do you understand him? This is what I'm trying to reveal to you. Your master is the one, your father is the one who is seeking out the lost. He is the one who has this immense wealth. And you, who he has claimed, even if you had been lost now as his sons and his daughters, all of it's yours. Not just half of your debt has been forgiven. All of it's been forgiven. And all of it is yours. And so this scoundrel, this cheat of a steward, he made friends via dishonest wealth. He was not trustworthy with that dishonest wealth. But we who have been given a true wealth in God, that this is what we have, and it's what we have to offer to others as well. That they might have their debts forgiven, not just cut in half, but entirely. You know, we live sometimes as Catholics just as Christians even, thinking that, yeah, I'm glad I'm a Christian. It makes my life a little better. Helps me make sense of the world. But, and this is something I think that the parable is getting at, is we miss a lot of the times what it actually means to be a Christian and to be a son, to be a daughter of God the Father, and that everything that He has is ours. The entirety of His kingdom, not just after we die, pray God, but now, all of that riches is made available to us. That when I go to pray, when I pray to God, do I pray with that trust and confidence that He wants to make all of that available to me? It might not be in the way that I'm asking for it, but He wants all of that grace and so much more from me than what I'm even asking, that I live with the power of God's life inside of me, and that this treasure that I have found through Jesus Christ and through the fullness of forgiveness that He's given to me, that this is a treasure that's worth giving everything to, so that others might know of Him as well, so that others might experience this forgiveness of God and might rejoice and celebrate, because you too have been lost and you've been found. You too have been forgiven the entirety of your debt. That you too are not just a slave to the master, but you are a beloved son, you're a beloved daughter, and the kingdom of God is present to you now and for eternity. That you've gained for yourself a dwelling, not just, oh, my Christianity helps me to live a little bit more of a secure life because, you know, I can make sense of things that go wrong. Yeah. It's so much more than that. It's so much more of a treasure chest. It's a treasure kingdom that He's made available to us, and He's given this to you. He's given this treasure of this life with God, and we live with this. So what do we do with it? We seek in a reckless way to give what we receive from God to others, because, as we heard in the Gospel Antiphon, though Jesus Christ was rich, He chose to become poor, so that by His poverty, you might become rich. That He gives to us entirely what is His. In our poverty, He becomes poor, so that us in our poverty might become rich with what He has, the life and the love of the Father, now and in eternity.